This is the Press Play Podcast, brought to you by Real Resilience.
Hello and welcome to Press Play, the podcast from Real Resilience, dedicated to all things tape and tape recorder. And in this episode, we'll hear what analog audio means to one tape enthusiast.
For me, analog is basically anything analog and format analog, that is tapes, whatever, small cassettes or small tapes or big tapes, yeah.
We'll have some tips on caring for your tapes and how Real Resilience can keep your machine running. But first, the joy of tape machine ownership is only reinforced by the audio quality that the OpenReel format can deliver. Look on any forum or social media platform and you'll see posts from regular users attesting to this and, dare I say it, state that the quality is better than vinyl. I'm sure you're aware of the 2020 release of the Thorens TM1600, which is a replay-only machine aimed at owners who want to play many of the high-quality pre-recorded tapes that are increasingly becoming available. Now, one such label that is producing these high-quality tapes is the Dutch label STS Analog, and my interview guest this podcast is Oleg Nechayev. He's the UK distributor for the label, amongst others, and also the man behind the website openreeltoreel.com. Now, we covered many topics during our chat, but I started by asking Olev about the background of STS Analog.
STS, I mean, basically, been in the market over 30 years, is a family-run business. So far, they have over 40 releases. Most of them is on a digital format, on a CD, which is high-quality CDs for audio fields.
Are these super audio?
It's like super audio or high-quality CDs with a super sound. I mean, most of them is on agenda. It's like a jazz, blues, classical music, and I have lots of testing for equipment testing, special CDs, and of course they produce high quality vinyl as well for audio fields. Pressing in Germany, I'm very impressed with the quality of pressing, quality of sound, quality of vinyl. Because these days, you can order lots of repressing from Amazon on a Prime account. You'll get the next day for whatever. But you're putting on a vinyl player and it sounds ridiculous, It's like MP3.
Are the vinyl pressings limited runs then?
Yeah.
I see. So they're doing vinyl pressings, they're doing high-quality audio.
Of course, from master copy of tapes.
Is this a new area for them, the tape side, then?
No. They've been doing that, I believe, since like year 2000.
All right.
So for a long time, yeah. Mm. I mean, of course, the professional people, Fritz is a sound engineer himself, qualified and everything, and of course, Nettie just by basically helping him on a marketing sort of promotion, sales admin side, around the business.
are these recordings new recordings, or are they, say, format releases from the material that was on vinyl or CD?
All of them is basically, year by year, they have extra new releases. Of course, it's all new. On previously, I'm not sure, whatever. I didn't work with them, in year 2000. I believe there some was archive from the Philips, which they have a license, and they pay, of course, all royalty and everything, to reprint,
Of course, of course.
Yeah.
How have I noticed with the tape? How's it picked up? Is it increasing sales over the last year, 18 months?
Yes, of course. It's more and more interest. You can see, or like you can compare eBay or any other, online auctions. Mm. Top-notch, quality for home users, tape recorders is really, really on demand. Yeah, of course, you can see, lots of old 70s tape recorders still on a sale. But the problem is only because nobody can refurbish them, look after them. And of course, they're not playing whatever 7.5 EPS or 15 professional ones.
Yeah.
That is a major problem for lots of people.
I've noticed a lot of their tapes are 10.5-inch reels. So what are they? Are they 15 IPS or are they 7.5?
Most of the clock, 15. Yeah, and of course, if you want to get the best of the sound or investment of your money, you want to really 15 EPS,
So they're really aiming at the high-end audio.
High-end.
Audio. Who's got the professional machine to play it on then?
Yeah, for professional machines or semi-professional for home users, decks, you know, we're talking about like Tascam BR20 or Technics RS15, 17, if you can get them.
And this is the this is what I'm finding actually with the tape market. People, as you said, have got these machines, but they're no longer looked after. And perhaps if they've been lucky enough to buy one in the 70s or 80s and then they haven't used it, you can't expect to get it out the cupboard and then just sort of fire it up and expect it to play these great tapes straight away, can you?
Yeah, but some of them have impression, you know, if a deck was whatever in the attic for 40, 30 years and somebody is resell them and they like bring it to home and they think this should be perfectly well. Yeah, and think, guys, are you driving the car? Yeah, you understand, yeah? If the car was, you know, in a parking lot, nobody was using for 30 years. Yeah. Of course, it must be properly servicing. Yeah? You're not going to drive such car. So how you can impression, you know, with a top-notch, you know, mechanical gear? Yeah, just basically you switching on and it's, everything will be working perfectly. No way.
No.
Yeah, no way. Yeah, you need to service, you need to tune. I mean, calibration was for old tape, you know. Whatever formula Mulan recording the masters, is they have, you know, license to produce a formulation of Basov, is the same one. But it's still new process. I mean, it's not 100% same tape. My understanding, I'm not, you know, professional to judge.
Yeah. What tape formats are they releasing the new material on?
I mean, STS Analog is basically, in principle, they use LP35.
Oh, right.
Yeah, some other studios, they preference different tapes. Yeah, it could be, it's like, I don't know. Studio by studio is a funny people, you know.
but the actual tapes they are duplicating on are LP35, are they?
Yeah, LP35.
I mean, I think that's a fine as a tape format, because I mean, a lot of people might think, well, why aren't they using a high output tape? This is audiophile recordings, but people are going to be buying these tapes and they're going to be keeping them in their collections. And unless they store them properly, they're going to get the print through issue, which obviously a lot of these high output tapes are absolutely great. I've got no issue with them. But, you know, if you don't look after them properly, you're going to find you're going to get a fair amount of print through with them, you know, over time.
Yes, and of course, I mean, lots of people have, you know, studio decks, you know, whatever, Studio Revox, and they Dex is calibrating for SM900.
Yep.
Yeah. And of course, this is preference of they type of tape. But in a home user, which is monster market, is no way. It's very dear. You know, it's not affordable for most of the people. And if I'm calibrating my deck for LP35, you know, so that is will be perfectly fine for blank tape. I can record at home. And if I purchase from the, you know, studio like STS Analog or any others, you know, so it's, my deck is already calibrated. Yeah, I don't have any issues. Because it need to be a little bit straightforward for the user.
Sure. Yeah,
I understand.
You've got to keep it simple. You've got to keep it simple. One thing I saw on your Facebook post a little while ago is your idea of a tape day or a tape recorder day. Is that something that's still? I mean, I think it'll be great, but obviously, along with the hundreds of other things everybody has to do, someone's got to organise it. But is that something that's still in the back of your mind?
Yes, I mean, still, you know, from time to time, I'm putting, you know, my notes, you know, how it should be, you know, after especially I visited, you know, Munich Hand Show. I mean, it's a great European show. I mean, I say it's a major one. But it's a lack of networking, you know. Everybody goes to these small rooms, you know, for presentation. People not discussing anything at all, you know, not sharing their knowledge, you know, what is going on in the markets, decks, production of new reel-to-reel decks, or new releases, sound recording, analog, not analog, and everything. So, yes, in principle, this is was like, okay, can we do, you know, sort of analog London European analog sort of tape or high-end club? You know, people can, you know, once in a month come up together up, you know, for networking. Okay, this is the players in industry. Can these players need to share something, do presentation, everything we can do, you know, once in a year, award analog, because people as well want to share the knowledge and don't want only listening for presentation of the sound for 5 minutes. I have a lot of questions.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I agree. I think it's, I mean, this is what I'm hoping with this podcast is to share ideas and get the word of tape machines and tape out there to the wider public. But you're right, more than just going to a listening booth and saying, yeah, it's really great audio reproduction, and then you just walk away. That's all you do. I mean, I think it would be a great idea if we had a tape day. Have you any other sort of idea of what you could expect? You mentioned about listening booths and obviously new tape machines on the market, but are you thinking perhaps sort of how to care for your machine buy and sell, even those that kind of thing?
Yeah, tips basically sharing knowledge, you know, what is going on the market, you know, where we are comparing to United States markets, what is on demand, you know, it could be different, you know, level. I mean, setup of your system, you know, people as well have no idea. Lots of people are asking, okay, I'm willing to invest some more money. Yeah, I'm looking to come back to reel-to-reel tape. Yeah. Which deck? Which amplifier?
What tape format? And some of the just the basic questions as well, isn't it? But that, you know, everybody's got to start somewhere, and I think we should welcome everybody to the fold.
Yeah, and what should be my acoustic for tape recorder? Yes. Yep. Yeah, and it's other bits and bobs. You know, what it should become of my hi-fi system? You know, and what it should be my budget? You know, and who is suppliers? And if I have a problem, you know, who can advise me? Is any consulting? Is any technician? Is any services and stuff like that? You know.
Press Play, the Real Resilience Podcast, dedicated to all things reel to reel.
Now we'll hear more from Oleg in a little while, but if you're building a collection of recordings, then it's wise to know some of the aspects of looking after them so they continue to give you the listening pleasure in years to come. Now Oleg mentioned STS Analog using LPR35 from RTM as its copy tape of choice. Now that tape offers low print through characteristics, which is vital for any recording you are going to keep for a long time. You can further reduce the effects of print through by storing the tape tail out, i.e. before you play it, you have to load the tape on the right-hand take-up spool and rewind it. Now, if you're not sure why storing a tape tail out is a good thing, let me explain. Tape with a signal on it, spooled onto a reel, will pass a faint copy of that signal onto the adjacent tape packed next to it. As the track ends, the effect of print through will be heard as a faint echo on the subsequent silence. Now, while storing a tape tail out won't stop print through, the printed through signal will appear as a pre-echo, meaning that it would be masked by the higher output, wanted signal. Now, the other thing you should consider before storing your tapes is performing a live rewind on them. Live rewind is a slow rewind which should create a smooth pancake of tape, thus protecting the edges. Tape sticking up from the pancake can lead to edge damage. Of course, if you plan to store your tapes tail out, the action of playing them should create a live rewind standard pancake on the take-up spool anyway. Now, some tape machine news. Recently, BBC Radio 4, the speech-based service for the UK, broadcast the 100th edition of The Digital Human. Now, this is a programme devoted to how digital technology touches so many aspects of our lives. Well, this time, for the 100th edition, instead of recording it to a digital format, they resurrected two redundant Studer A80 tape machines and used these instead. On the Radio 4 page on Facebook, there are some links to the audio and a short video of the production team at work in the analogue world.
This is the Press Play Podcast, brought to you by Real Resilience.
Now, we return to my chat with Oleg, and we started with his thoughts on new machines coming to the market, such as the Ballfinger MO63 and the Thorens TM1600.
There is a certain entry level to this. You've got to have a little bit of money to do it, but it doesn't have to be excessive. But you buy these wonderful tapes, perhaps from the likes of STS and some of the other sort of audiophile recording companies around there. But you then got to get a machine to play it on if you don't have one at the moment, or you've got to have a machine that plays 15 IPs and 10.5-inch reels. And you've then got to go through the education process. What am I buying? What's wrong with it? What does it need doing? How much more can I spend? And obviously there are new machines coming onto the market, which I think is great. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, of course, they're not, they can't really, you know, compete, you know, with all vintage decks. Yeah,
but in terms of sound quality or cost?
No, not on cost. Forget about cost. Yeah, lots of people, you know, comparing the price and everything, and I'm saying, you know, if you put devaluation of a currency, of 70s, any calculator online, and you know how much is Technics was cost, and let's put calculation, you will get, you know, this is will be cost you right now up to £20,000 if you're going to purchase right now, if Technics will be producing, yeah. And basically, no, I'm talking about at this stage on technical specs. I'm only about, you know, quality.
Well, you think today's machines, the new ones coming onto the market, don't match the technical specs of machines of 30 years ago? Because I'm thinking, I come from an electronics background, and I'm thinking, you know, you've got production techniques of PCBs, you've got new chips that the new producers might be using.
I don't know. I doubt it. There's new electronics, new parts, you know, for these days, high end, you know. I mean, only if you can have access to aerospace, you know, or military technologies, you know, those parts.
Yeah.
This is maybe, you know, but again, I mean, I doubt it, you know.
Yeah.
Everything, because as well, is. With the ball finger, it's not clear for me where these all parts come from. Yeah.
Yes.
Who is, because he's not manufacturer, he's assembler. This is my as well problem, because they're talking about we are manufacturer. No ways, guys. You assembler. This is different story. Yeah. Lots of parts is coming from where? From China.
Having looked at it, I still think the MO63 is a nice looking machine. And I do notice some of the parts clearly of a Revox parentage. They must have come from sort of still some of the Swiss manufacturers.
From Germany, Germany and Swiss, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I will support any newcomers.
Yes.
I would love to. And whatever people hate it, don't like it, design, pricing or anything, you know. I will always support anybody have a crazy, crazy, stupid idea, to launch and start production of any type recorder.
Yeah. Well, you've got to hand it to them, even for people who have got issue with the price or the sound quality. Ballfinger have still got further down the line. They've still gone and done this far more than we have in terms of I am going to produce a brand new tape machine. And I think all power to them, regardless of theirs. It doesn't suit all tastes. So I think, you know, good.
Yeah,
good
but
on
the, in the 80s, Akai 747 was you know, high street price. It was closer to £4,000. And there's no way my parents, for example, could afford it to buy. And I'm a teenager. I don't have
no, I agree with you.
Money.
I think you're falling. Many people at that time would fall into that.
Yeah,
category.
So this currently, right now, price tag of Bollfinger, you know, is the same sort of level.
Yes.
You know, unaffordable. Is you know, half of year my wage.
Yes.
You know?
Also, I think what we forget is that, you know, then people mentioned Technics, they mentioned Akai, they mentioned Sony, they mentioned Studer Revox. These were massive companies. Well, relatively, Studer Revox was small compared with Sony, but you know, these companies could absorb all those R&D costs and promote it and push the market or sell to the market, market, and bring the cost down. But we haven't got that nowadays. We are aiming at the high end audio, and it's going to be expensive.
Yeah, and if Bollfinger can produce a year, I don't know, 100, 200 machines, you know, those decks, you know, maximum, you know, because again, I mean, he's more or less one band per person. He is not a company with 10,000 employees, you know, a huge monster factory. So that is, of course, and Torrent, if it's they come up with a DM, you know, whatever in the marketing strategy, to just putting, you know, branding of Torrent, and Bollfinger will support and produce assembly these machines, and that will be only player. If they see it, market will be fine. Lots of people not doing home recording, which I know for very well. Yeah, people never touch it button recording.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. I suppose you want them to buy. You want them to buy STS tapes, don't you? But
it's not. It's just me to upsell. That is was Horchow, so was a Visery Vox idea. Volca was come up with that idea to approach Revox, to build new machine, and he with his studio in Slovakia, part of whatever, in Austria, he will do it at tapes, pre-recorded tapes, digital ones. All Horchaus was digital level of recording. Yeah, and he want to upsell the market, and on a Revox is still, there is a store of the tapes. It's still listed there, dead one. Yeah, I can send you a link.
Yeah, oh, yeah, please
it's
do.
It's funny,
please
for yes. for two, yeah. 3 years, it's still on the Revox website, on the official Revox website, you know, that link of a store of the tapes. Yeah. We currently have maintenance or whatever they have put in description, and that is going on for 2 years.
Well, please send me the link and I'll include it. Yeah, please do that. Anything else you'd like to talk about just in closing?
No, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, yeah, tapes and professional, you know, tape recording master tapes is still picking up. Mm-hmm. It's totally say which stage where we're going with this.
Okay.
But so, yeah, but right now on my list is already 30 studios producing those tapes, copy of master tapes. And on my file is over 360 releases. So that is something.
That's good.
Which is, I know the people have no idea. So that is people studios is offering. And this is a volume of albums. But of course, I mean, major of them is just classical sort of rock stuff. But I would love to push this market. This music on the tapes will be available for everyone. And of course, not only for high-speed 15 EPSs or 38 SS, but as well, you know, 7.5. Because I mentioned to all recording studios, yeah, guys, there is a market is ready and asking and happy to back you up. Yeah, but you need to produce, you know. This is Dex, only play 7.5.
Yeah, you've got to produce a product for the market. That's what you've got
exactly.
to do. That sounds great. All right, Oleg, thank you
all
very
right.
much for your
yeah.
time.
Thank you very much for your,
yeah, and stay
okay.
in touch.
Keep in touch, yeah. Many thanks. Bye.
You can find Oleg's site at www.openreeltoreel.com. That's all one word. And there's a sign up for notifications for new releases on the site. The STS Analog site can be found at sts-digitalshop.nl. That's sts-digitalshop.nl. Other outlets I can recommend for high-quality tape-based audio recordings are Mike Valentine's Chasing the Dragon. There's also some great videos on YouTube of him recording his material. There's the Italian label OpenReelRecords.com, and Elusive Discs in the US are worth a check out too. Here at Real Resilience, we continue to offer owners of tape machines a service of repair and maintenance, as well as the more unusual aspects of machine use. For instance, we've had a request to recreate tape editing techniques for a training video for the broadcast industry. If you check out the webpage of that Radio 4 program I mentioned earlier, you'll see there's a video of them doing exactly the kind of thing that we've got to recreate. To make an inquiry about how we can help you, the best way is probably just to visit the website at realresilience.co.uk and fill in the inquiry form. So that's it. Thank you for listening. Until the next time, press play and keep it real.
Find Real Resilience on the web at realresilience.co.uk and on our Facebook page, Real Resilience.